We bless the pulpit of prayer. Father, thank you for the afternoon. And thank you for the liberty that we have in Lord Jesus Christ and the freedom we have in this country to have Bibles and to pray and to gather freely. Allow us to understand things from this book, from this chapter, about things that have happened in the past and are talked about in the Scripture. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's go over quiz 49. Quiz number 49. Jacob is not called back yet. I guess I can... I was smart enough, I'd call him back. Wait, he is here. Jack, take question number one, then we'll figure out how to get him so everyone can hear him. Question number one.
All right. Who said, gather yourselves together, and that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days? I said Jacob.
That's right. Jacob is the correct answer. Kathy, question number two, please.
Which one of the sons of Jacob was the beginning his strength? Reuben, firstborn?
Reuben, that's correct. Bill, question number three.
Name the two sons of Jacob who he considered as instruments of cruelty. Simeon and Levi.
Simeon and Levi, that's right. Tammy?
Number four. Which one of Jacob's sons was likened to a lion's whelp? Judah.
Caroline, number five.
Who was prophesied to dwell at the haven of the sea? Zebulun,
that's right. Zebulun. Jacob, I'm still working on the connection. Why don't you give me 5 minutes, Jacob, and give me a call back. I know you're on the phone, but Jacob, call me back in 5 minutes, okay? I had to reboot my device here. I apologize for that. Jack, go ahead and take the next question, please.
That's number six.
Yes.
Name the son who was pictured as crouching down between two burdens. Asher.
Sure, Asher. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Issachar.
I'm sorry. I was looking at the question number nine. You asked question number nine, right, Jack?
No, you said five.
Number six. Issachar is the answer. Number six.
Issachar, yeah.
I'm trying to get Jacob on the phone, and I wasn't paying too much of attention. But Jacob, the answer is Issachar. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 14. Kathy, question number seven, please.
Which one of the sons of Jacob was to judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel?
That's right. Bill, right?
Who was prophesied to overcome at the last? That would be Gad.
All right. Tammy, number nine.
Name the son who was foretold to, quote, yield royal dainties. Genesis 49:20, Asher.
Number 10, Caroline.
Write down any verse you like from chapter 49, and why did you select this verse? I wrote the first verse. You're going to be shocked.
Okay, that's good. That's great, Caroline. Yes. What would be the first verse?
And Jacob called unto his son and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days.
Very good. What did you get there, Jack?
I put verse 2. I said, gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob. And you want me to take care of it, do it after you take the call?
No, we'll see here. Hello? Hello? Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, good. Glad we had this line open. Good for calling back. Go ahead, Jack.
Alright, I said, I'll do it over again, alright?
Mm-hmm.
Alright, verse 2, I said, gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. This verse made me think that the Jews are... It just made me think that the Jews are God's chosen people.
Okay. All right. Good. Kathy, next question.
Which son was told that he was like a hand that let loose?
Oh, well, that's right. That's not absolutely. Well, what do you give for number 10, Kathy?
Hmm?
What do you give for question number 10?
Oh, 10. Yeah. Verse 25.
But number 11 is right. But number verse 25. Go read that.
God of thy father, who shall help thee, who shall bless thee with the blessing of heaven above. God is my creator and my father. I'm his child by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. And this verse talks about me. Talks to me. This verse is for me.
Yeah, go ahead.
What did it say?
He will bless me with many blessings.
What verse you pick?
I chose verse 33 because that's the last verse, and I thought Jacob was giving his final instructions to his sons. We had just seen a picture how his sons varied in, so much, and many of them, it seems, were not faithful to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of a picture in miniature of the world.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And Tammy, what did you get for that verse? That number 10, rather.
I chose actually two verses, 16 and 17. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that by the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. Chose it because the verse points to some future judgment that the tribe of Dan will have its fellow tribes or brothers, and perhaps even and likely his role in bringing in the Antichrist.
Good. That's good. Jack, question number 12.
Who was told that he is fruitful borrow? Joseph?
That's right. Kathy, 13.
Named the son of Jacob, who was told that he would divide the spoil. Benjamin.
Benjamin, that's right. And go.
How many sons did God give to Israel? 12.
Okay. Good. And Tammy, next question.
Who said, bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephraim? And that was Israel.
That's right. Caroline, 16.
From whom did Abraham purchase his burying place? Ephron?
Ephron, that's right. Anna, number 17. Which one of Jacob's wives did he bury in the cave of Machpelah?
Leah.
That's correct. Jacob, number 18.
From whose children did Abraham purchase the field of Machpelah? That'd be Heth, I think.
Yeah, from the sons of Heth? Number 19, Jack.
Who yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people? Jacob?
That's right. Kathy, number 20.
Write one small thing you have learned by reading Genesis chapter 49. Jacob was a man of God. God showed Jacob how each child will be in future. How will turn out to be in future. If you put God first in your life, you can foretell your life will be blessed until the end.
Good, that's good, Kathy. So, what do you have?
I think it's in miniature of what's going to happen to Israel later on throughout the rest of the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. A small number of people will be faithful to the Lord and truly worship the Lord. The rest of the Jews are just ritualistic.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They are. Tammy?
Those things that Jacob spoke to his sons were, they were what would come to pass in the future, and he gave each individual blessings and that were specific to each one.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Carolyn? Jacob.
Yes,
sir.
Number 20. Abram sometimes had a lot of children.
Yep, that's good. Jack.
I said that Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. And once again, the Jews are God's chosen people.
That's
to
right.
Say what he said.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews are ritualistic,
mm-hmm.
but they're going to have to, if they do want to get to heaven, they're going to have to accept Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
and not deny Jesus Christ's existence.
That's right. That's right. So good. That's the quiz number 49, and now let's go to chapter 50, the book of Genesis, the last chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis has 50 chapters. And so we'll begin with of Jacob, Max, and Mrs. Grummer, you read verses 1 and 2.
And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel.
And 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, if thou have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying,
Jack, my father. I'm sorry, go ahead, Jacob.
Saying, lo, I die in my grave, which I have hidden for me in the land of Canaan, there shall thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again.
6 and 7, Jack.
Okay. And Pharaoh said, go up and bury thy father, according as he made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, and the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt.
And all the house of Joseph and his brethren, and his father's house, only their little ones, and their flocks and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company.
And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan, and there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation, and he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, this is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Wherefore, the name of it was called Abelma's reign, which is beyond Jordan.
And his sons did unto him according as he commanded them. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for possession of a burying place of Ephraim the Hittite before Manasseh.
And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly require us all the evil which we did unto him.
And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him.
And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in peace. Rather, I fear not, for am I in the place of God? There is the first part of Genesis chapter 50. So we have here, who's died here? Mrs. Grummer, who's died here in this chapter? At the beginning of the chapter.
Jacob,
that's right. Jacob has died. And, of course, Jacob is, who's the father of Jacob?
Oh, the father of Jacob?
Yes.
Abraham.
Well, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's considered one of the spiritual fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And Abraham, Jack, what do you know about Abraham?
Abraham was married to Sarah.
Mm-hmm, that's right, huh?
And God blessed them with a son, Isaac.
Yes, that's right.
And he blessed them, and he was Abraham was 100, and Sarah was 90, and due to the age, and most of the time, women 90-year-old women usually don't get pregnant.
That's right.
But it was God.
He's the son of promise. That's right.
He was the son of promise, right. And they were just shocked. They couldn't believe that they were having a baby at their age.
That's right. And the son of promise.
But we learned something, that with God, anything is possible.
That's correct. What we learned, with God, anything is possible. And we have here, when Jacob dies, we have Joseph falling on his neck and kissing him and weeping. And he commanded his servants to embalm his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. They cremate him, they embalmed him, and pretty much probably the procedure they use with the mummification process. I'm not sure what's all involved in it, but it took a long time for them to do this. And so how many days were they mourning? Kathy, how many days were they mourning?
40
days. Let me see. Is it 40 days?
7.
It was 110 days, Master Dan, because it was 40 days they mourned, and then the Egyptians.
So,
10 days. So, 110 days, I think.
I think that the 40 days goes to the process of preparing the body for burial. Not that they weren't mourning during that time period, so they get the 40 days for preparing for burial, and maybe some mourning there. But the official mourning is 70 days. So there must have been a lot involved for this.
70 days.
70 days. Thank you. 70 days. 70 is 70.
No.
Well, Jacob got 110.
But you don't add them together.
No, you don't add them together. The 40 days. Is the process for embalming, I think concurrent with that is the mourning.
They put off their mourning for 40 days?
No, they were mourning contemporaneously as they were embalming, as they were preparing the body for burial, the physicians. So the mourning began at that time of his death. The embalming process began at the time of his death. So after they was embalmed, it took 40 days to do that, and an additional 30 days beyond that period. I mean, it was very involved, the process that they had for burial. It's a long time, 70 days. It is a very long time for mourning. Usually, that is a long time to mourn. And so when the mourning was ended, when it had passed, who did Joseph ask for a leave of absence from? From who did he ask the leave of absence from?
Pharaoh.
From Pharaoh. He asked Pharaoh if he could go back to Canaan to bury his father, because he promised his father that he would do this. He would take him back to the cave of Machpelah, where Leah is buried, and where Abraham and Sarah are buried, where Isaac is buried, and to take him back. Bury this. And so Pharaoh in verse 60 says, go, bury your father. Now, remember what had occurred when Joseph sent to gather, to bring Jacob, his father, back to Egypt, or to Egypt. What was the scenario at that point in time? What happened? I mean, how did they get him?
What's your question?
My question is, what question did I ask? Now, my question, if I can remember my question, is how did they?
Who's they?
The they is the Joseph and company. When 17 years prior to this.
Company. Which company? His brothers?
Pepsi Cola.
Well, what I mean by company, I mean the people that are helping him. That's what I mean by company. Joseph and his servants, Joseph and his brothers, anyone that's involved in the process of helping them move from Canaan of Galilee to Egypt. Remember that move 17 years previous to Jacob's death? During the second year of the famine? When he revealed himself? What did Joseph do? Yeah.
It was from Canaan of Galilee. Is that why you said that?
Okay. Maybe he wasn't. That's a good question. But Canaan.
Canaan.
Canaan. I'm sorry, Canaan. I'm thinking of something in the book of John. Canaan. That was the first miracle was done in Canaan. That's something else. Canaan. Okay, yes, it is Cana. What's that?
I just heard you.
Yes, I misheard me too. Did you hear misheard me, Jacob? Yes, I did. I did get it mixed up. Cana.
I'm getting faster dad. I'm getting woozy.
Okay, I understand. My cheese is already slipping, Jacob.
Yeah, I got a string wrapped around my head.
Can I help you?
Please help me.
I don't know what you're asking or why you're asking me, but Joseph had to swear to his father that he would not bury him in Egypt, that he would bury him back in the land of Canaan.
Yes, that's right.
That
he did.
Was shortly after he came.
That's right. That's correct. And when he went to pick up his father, he sent wagons. He sent a contingency from Egypt to go pick him up.
Right.
And his family. Everyone that was there where Jacob was living, he sent people there from Egypt to pick them up in wagons. Now 17 years later, he's dying and they're going back. They're having a garage, I think it was what it was called. They're having a funeral procession. No, that's not quite right. It rhymes with that, but it's they're having what's the fancy word for a funeral procession? Isn't it a Kathy? Does anyone know? Please help us here.
Was there a horn band in that procession, like they do in New Orleans?
No processions like that. No percussions.
Someone from higher up.
Yes. Maybe somebody could buzz in or phone in. Isn't it like a garage or a... that's not quite right either. But anyway, it's a funeral procession. There's some word for funeral procession that, like, when
caravan?
You hear it... What's that?
They came in a caravan.
A caravan.
But that's not...
That's not the word I'm looking for, but that's the idea. They came with this high-ranking Egyptian pomp for a bearer. They came... Again, 17 years later, they came to the cave of Machpelah to bury Jacob. And so, when he's given permission to leave, and in verse 8, his brothers, they came. It says in verse 8, and all the house of Joseph and his brethren and his father's house, only their little ones and their flocks, and the herds that are left in Goshen. So their little ones and their cattle they left behind in Goshen, but other than that, they proceeded down to... I don't know. Maybe perhaps the wives... Here's our answer, perhaps. Hello? Hello?
Again, the word is cortege.
Okay, thank you. Cortege. Thank you. I knew it. I was close, but I knew I wasn't there. Cortege. Thank you. Cortege. Okay, so, or cortege. That's the word I was looking for. So the cortege. Now,
what's
that?
Who was that person?
That was Pastor.
Okay.
Cortege. Thank you. Cortege. It's a cortege, something like that. Cortege. Yes.
I hate to say this, but a lot of these funeral processions down in South Texas, they're lowrider parades.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Lowriders.
So the cortege. We'll figure it out later.
Lowrider.
So they went back to the promised land, taking Jacob with him, his embalmed body. In other words, they have a body. They're burying the body. You know, the Egyptians, although they had very peculiar customs and superstitions, they tried to preserve the body. They kept all the important stuff, and the brain they threw out. As far as they had little jugs that they have, and basins or jugs that they would have, they would dissect, but they wouldn't necessarily make any incisions to dissect. That doesn't matter how they removed that everything, but they had a way of. Removing the vital organs from the body, but the brain they didn't consider a vital organ, so they disregarded. But the other ones they would put in containers of some sort.
Urns.
Thank you. Urns, and they would have it that way. When in the afterlife, they thought in the afterlife they could make use of these. You know, it would have been if they believed in an afterlife, I would think they would have. Left in, but somehow they thought taking that would be better. That way they could somehow nap life to people. And they wrongly thought, in their wrong religion, their wrong thinking, their paganism, they thought they could use it again.
They knew they could preserve the physical body by removing the internal organs.
Yes, they did.
If the internal organs were left there, it would just rot.
Yes, that's right.
The whole body.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Tammy.
Well, tombs, they also put like different things that were valuable to them.
Mm, yes.
They could, in their afterlife, they could use them.
About the pizza there, get some pizza, some food.
No.
Some, no. No, they, yeah, they, you, so what you mean, like they left gold and silver, they would have shovels, and I mean, whatever they would have. Things that would be useful for them in their paganism, in their false religion, to think that they would be able to use in their afterlife, but they did an excellent job of preserving the body, and they embalmed Jacob and they took him back home to the and we had here the flocks, the little ones left behind. I suspect the mothers may have been there, although it doesn't say that, but someone had to care for him. Unless they had someone there, some of the Egyptians would watch over the little ones. And notice how they went up. Both chariots and horsemen in a very great company. So it was a big event, a big procession that they had as they returned. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which should be on Jordan, and there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation, and made a mourning for 7 days. So they went further, they got close to where they were to be, they stopped, they paused for an additional 7 days, they mourned. And how did the inhabitants of the land respond, Bill, verse 11?
How did what respond?
The inhabitants of the land, how did they respond?
Well, they noticed that Israelites were grieving, and they noticed that it was a very intense grieving, so they were kind of sympathetic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
It's unusual for them.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, they were wondering. Yeah, that's true. They were wondering. They thought they were Egyptians. That's correct. They thought they were Egyptians. And so the sons, how many sons did Jacob have, Jack?
12 sons.
12 sons, that's right. And so the sons followed his instructions and carried him in the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which, of course, Abraham secured that cave for a burying place for Sarah, for his wife. And eventually he was buried there as well. And in time, in verse 14, we see that Joseph returned to Egypt. And he and his brethren, and they went back to Egypt. Now, what were Joseph's brothers thinking in verse 15? Tammy, what were they thinking in verse 15?
Well, that Joseph was going to hate them now that Jacob was dead.
Right. They thought the business, because Jacob had died, now they thought that Joseph was only being nice to us because the father was alive. But now the father has died, he's buried, now they're thinking, now Joseph is going to really get back at us because the father had died. And so then what did they do, Carolyn? What did they say in verse 16?
They sent a messenger unto Joseph saying the father did command before he died, saying.
Right, and so see, they wanted to say, okay, and what they were going to say, forgive your brothers of their sin, for of the trespass. Now, the fact is, you know, the brothers are admitting the fact that they trespassed. So they're coming to that realization. They realize that, as you saw in the previous discussions they had, they've come to that realization that they did trespass against their brother, Joseph, and now they're trying to, again, be deceptive somewhat. And saying our father said to forgive us, which he said none of those things. I believe this is all fabricated, all made up on their part. I don't believe this is anything that Jacob had told them to tell Joseph. They just made it up. They just made it up.
Master Dan?
Yes, Jacob.
You know, this kind of reminds me of their, maybe they thought, remember Esau, Jacob was afraid that when Esau died, I mean that when Isaac died, that Esau had sworn that he would kill him, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
Their uncle Esau, maybe they remember somebody, you know, that grudge the uncle Esau had against their father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, it could be. That's right. And then he left town for 20 years, didn't he? Jacob did, because of that conflict that they had with each other. Then they fell down and they said, "We be thy servants." Again, that's something that God revealed to Joseph years before this, when he was just a young teenager, that this would happen. Let's begin reading. Let's pick up verse 19. We haven't read verse 19 yet, have we?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, we did read verse 19. Okay. Okay.
We read 19.
Okay. So God said, "You know, Joseph told them, fear not, for am I in the place of God?" No. Which is not. None of us are in the place of God. God is in the place of God. You know, God is the one that has to make judgments. God is the one who has to give punishments. All right, Jacob, Mrs. Grummer, read verse 20, please.
"And as for you, you sought evil against me, but God mandated unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive."
All right, Jacob.
"Therefore, fear not, I will nourish you and your little ones, and he comforted them, and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. Joseph lived 110 years."
Check.
And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Micah, the son of Messiah, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of the land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob."
And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence." So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt.
Okay, so we have two deaths in this chapter, the death of Jacob and the death of Joseph. But in verse 20, you know, Joseph is responding to his brothers. He says, you know, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save much people alive. God had worked it out in his providence and his sovereignty to put Joseph in the exact place where he needed to be, to be able to prevent this famine that he was aware that was going to take place. God's in control of everything. So God had this plan. And from our human perspective, we have to understand how God's sovereignty, how God's providence works in our life. If there are things that we may not understand completely as we're going through them, there may be things we may never understand. But here Joseph has the wisdom knowing that God had a purpose in what happened to him. Because he could look back and he could see how God had allowed him to be in the place where he had to be in order to preserve life. To be able to save not only his family, but the people in Egypt. A lot of things. And it's the entire nation of Israel would have been destroyed. I mean, from a human standpoint, humanly speaking, if all the inhabitants of if Jacob and his sons had died because of the famine, the only one would be left is Joseph. And if the Messiah was to come through Judah would have died. Of course, God could have brought the Messiah through Joseph, but the point is the plan. The plan of God is works in a certain way that he was in control, and Joseph acknowledged this. He was aware of it. That's what he's trying to communicate to his brothers. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good because he was able to preserve life. And Caroline, how old was Joseph in verse 22 when he died?
110 years.
So, some of us are halfway there. Some of us are almost halfway there. 110. So we have a lot to look forward to. We could live to 110. And Joseph lived to 110. And it says he saw Ephraim's. She had two sons, right? Joseph had two sons. What were the names of their two sons? Hannah, two sons of Joseph. Ephraim and Manasseh. And the scripture says he saw them to the third generation. He saw that his grandsons and his great-grandsons. They were brought to him. It says they're in the third generation. Or, it depends on how you count.
Ephraim's third generation children. Ephraim's children of the third generation. Is that great-great or is that great?
It could be. Okay, and Joseph saw Ephraim's children. His children of the third generation, and the children also of Michar, the son of Manasseh. So Manasseh is the son, Michar is the grandson, and Michar's children is the great-grandson, great-grandchildren. So he saw several generations that were brought to his knees. And Joseph said to his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land. Which land is that, Caroline? He's talking about here in verse 24. Egypt, that's right. To bring you out of the land of Egypt. And he made them swear an oath, gave a solemn promise that they would not let him stay there when they left. When God visited them, he wanted them to take his bones with him. Because God will surely visit you and will carry, and when he does, carry my bones up from hence. And so, again, Joseph, too, he was embalmed. And he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. And so he remained there for close to 400 years in that place. And then when Moses came along, and during the time of the Exodus, they came and they took the bones of Joseph. They took the coffin that Joseph had with them as they left the Promised Land. So the coffin came and went across all the wilderness wanderings. It was 40 years. It came until they came to the Promised Land, which I suspect he was interred there right with his father and grandfather and great-grandfather. So that's Genesis chapter 50. So, Mrs. Grummer, what are some of your thoughts or observations about Genesis chapter 50? Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. He will. Jacob, something you've observed from this section. Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Jackson, something you've noted here from this section.
Joseph dwelt in Egypt.
He did. He dwelt in Egypt. That's correct. So most of his life in Egypt. And Kathy.
Genesis was finished with Joseph's story.
Yes.
Joseph's story. He was a favor of God somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Among other sons.
Yes, that's right.
God just chose Joseph for his purpose. We don't know the reason, but.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting finishing Genesis with Joseph's end of life.
Yes, it is. That is interesting. Mm-hmm. Start out with Adam being created, and then we have Joseph dying because of the fall, because of Adam's fall. Go.
And we have a 400-year gap until Moses takes
Israel
out of Egypt.
We do. There's a time when we have Moses coming, being born. After we have a Pharaoh coming up who did not know Joseph, because the previous Pharaoh, within places, the previous Pharaoh knew his reputation. You know, it's like when you think of people that have politicians and presidents in this country that have a reputation, like a positive reputation. You know, there may come a day when no one has any memory of those people, because another dynasty comes in to Egypt in this instance that did not know and was not aware of the blessings. Of Joseph, what he brought upon and what he did for the people. And so, you know, that's why, you know, God's chosen people of Israel. God wants us to show, they have something, a nation that's a special nation because of God's chosen people, the Jewish people.
Joseph prophesied these things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He did. Yeah. Tammy, something you noticed here.
Well, I think it's significant that Joseph as the children are told, the children of Israel to carry his bones when they left Egypt, because he could have just said, you know, when I die, go and take me and bury me.
Yes.
But for whatever reason, I mean, we know it was helping them to look toward the future,
yes, right.
That they would eventually leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that apparently God had shown Joseph. But he could have, you know, just said, take me and bury me.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a reason that he, you know, it was in the timing of God.
Right.
He would leave when he did.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
Joseph was more part of Egyptian culture than Hebrew culture.
Yes, he was.
Even though by birth he was a Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
He lived and dwelt among the Egyptians and
right.
ruled.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. He did. Caroline.
No comment.
We're coming. Hannah.
It's interesting how the brothers... they were using this deceptive technique to try and get their brother to forgive them.
Yes.
But he had already forgiven them.
He did.
And so they didn't need to go to such.
That's right.
Big
That's correct.
Going into deception again.
That's right. No, they didn't. They didn't. But they thought they had to. That's right. Any more questions or comments, sir? Anyone has?
I guess they just wanted to make sure.
Right. That's correct. That's just the end of the book of Genesis. We have a quiz, and the quiz, since we won't have class next week, we'll go over the quiz at the Wednesday service, between the services, between the morning service, so you don't have as much time to work on it. You know, until Sunday, until, you know, so during the, between the services, at Wednesday's, we'll go over the quiz. So we'll have to get there and get a table. Maybe we can sit at the round table. I'm not sure. We'll find some table. We could all be at the same close proximity to each other. Is that?
Nothing.
No, okay, so we'll do that. And then I do have a study guide for our next book. which will be starting your next book in, oops, I just lost something, in January. First Tuesday in January, we'll be starting our next book. So I'm going to give you the quiz for Genesis, study guide for the next book, and the study guide should be completed before class. That's the purpose of the study guide. Work on the study guide before class. Study guide, it's a kind of new type of thing, so it's kind of developing. And so, but this first is the first edition, it's the prototype of a study guide, and so we'll have to build off of it for future study guides. But if we did a study guide prior to the class, that would help us in our discussion. Tammy?
Do we know what the first date in January would be, the first Tuesday?
First Tuesday is the 6th.
It's the 6th, okay.
Yeah, it's January 6th, the first Tuesday. That's what we'll meet on the 6th, January 6th. I'm not sure if this is something for us. Are you there, Jacob, still? Are you there, Jacob? Good. Okay. So you're still there, so that's not you calling then. Let's play the prayer, and I'll pass out the study guide and the quiz after.
What was it about it? The study on what?
Oh, the study guide. You're not supposed to ask that question. You're supposed to be surprised. The Gospel of John. That's a hint.
Pastor,
yes. Jacob.
It says here on the schedule that
we're
coming back on January 9th.
That's
not right.
Well, what do you have a calendar? Maybe I'll just that could be the history of fundamentalism class, perhaps.
Okay.
The history of fundamentalism is...
That is what that is.
Okay. All right, it's okay. I have to get a bigger piece of string.
So if we subtract, we'll get to 6.
I had it tied up, but...
Okay, that's right. So it works. So, yeah, we're going to be sending the Gospel of John... next year in January, first Tuesday, we're taking a little break for the winter time. Whatever we're having here, it's kind of
what?
Yes,
isn't there First John, Second John?
There is. This is the Gospel of John, Jack. The Gospel of John, which is the fourth book of the Bible. We have the first book is the New Testament. The fourth book of the New Testament, the 43rd book of the Bible, the fourth book of the New Testament: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay, Matthew's the 40th. Right? What comes after Matthew?
Mark.
That's the 41st. What comes after Luke? 42nd. And then okay. John, the 43rd. It's the Gospel of John.
Oh, so it's probably in the New Testament.
The New Testament. You know where the book of Matthew is, right, Jack?
Yeah, it's the first book of the New Testament.
That's correct. That's correct.
And then you got Mark, and then you got Luke.
That's right. And then what comes after Luke?
Then it's John.
John, that's right. What's next?
After John?
Yes. Think about Sunday for a moment, Jack.
Sunday?
Yeah, think about Sunday. What comes after John?
Was it First John?
No.
Bible study.
No, the Thursday or Sunday, either one. I mean Sunday evening, Jack. Sunday evening.
Oh,
you were someplace Sunday evening.
Oh, that particular place?
Yes.
Was it the Book of Acts?
Yes, that's right, the Book of Acts. That's correct. Acts. So, Bill, please, this is for a pleasant prayer.
Father in heaven, we thank you for these teachings. We thank you for this church and the teacher that we have. We ask that you continue this, continue to bless the church and the pastor for many, many years to come. We look forward to coming again soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Study guide at the front and the back.